Our clothes, our t-shirt, it takes 2,700 liters of water to produce a single t-shirt. So that's a lot of water. That's like the same amount of water that one person drinks for 3 years, right?
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break. A surprise kiss. An afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Grow your business without the guesswork. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Another week, another Monday, another episode of None of Your Business. I'm super happy to be here. We are going to talk about a topic that I've also been thinking about for quite some time as a girl, and as a girl going through different phases in fashion, preferences, influences. I've always thought about fashion sustainability. And to be honest, I have just started really being mindful about this over the pandemic when I was forced to look at everything I had and see what I really value and what contributes to my life in a good way. On top of that, I'm sure a lot of you can also relate that when the Marie Kondo revolution came on, we also started to ask ourselves, which things brought joy to our life and whether, you know, what things really matter in terms of ownership. And so one of the things that, of course, are is very, very close to our heart are the clothes we wear. They become an extension of ourselves. They become a way for us to express ourselves. They've also became a way for us to give ourselves permission to be a little bit different every now and then, maybe operate from a certain personality. So it's really like a huge conversation. And of course, with the rising intention to also take good care of our planet, fashion sustainability has gained a lot of ground. So for today, I invited one of my best friends, Jessie Madriaga. Jessie is a journalism trained writer in the Philippines who has extensive work in news and lifestyle media, PR, and science communications. He is a 2023 fellow of the Next Gen Assembly, an advocacy program led by nonprofit organization Global Fashion Agenda and Fashion Values, a sustainability education program developed by the Center for Sustainable Fashion at the UAL London of College of Fashion. He also convenes voices from fashion, sustainability, and beyond in the Unstitch Sustainable Fashion Forum. As a member of the WEF Global Shapers community, Jessie takes leadership roles in convening youths and communities for inclusive conversations about sustainability. He believes in the power of writing and creating storytelling-centered platforms to achieve global goals. Wow, amazing. Hashtag Jesse for president. Welcome, Jesse, and welcome to None of Your Business.
Hello, Carla. Thank you so much for having me on the show and for sharing your voice and platform to explore this conversation about sustainability and passion.
Yeah, so unbeknownst to many, Jesse and I actually share a shopping problem and we need therapy. So this is step one. So
absolutely.
yeah, no, I'm just half kidding. But before we start, we already have your super amazing bio and background, but how did you get started with your interest in fashion? Maybe you can tell us.
Oh yeah. Well, for the longest time, Carla, I think like I started like most of us, many of us who are not fashion who do not identify as fashion professionals. We are all participating in fashion as consumers. We subscribe to brands and the lifestyles that they promote, and at the same time, at some point in our journey as consumers, we were quite passive in the sense that we only took action based on the messages that were communicated to us by the big brands. And so, you know, I think that creates this culture and idea that we have been just, you know, participating in fashion as consumers, as just people who buy things. And that's why there is an idea that fashion is frivolous, because that's just what it is. It's consumption. It's us keeping up with the latest trends or going after what's hot or what's new. And I guess the earliest memory or experiences that I have really being immersed in fashion as a consumer is like obsessing over brands. And that's just how it is. That's just how it started.
Yeah, and was there any, can you think of any like big moment of realization or where everything turned for you, or maybe a special moment in childhood that now looking back, you were like, oh, you know what? If I had a different mindset, this would have gone differently.
Well, I do, growing up, I have two sisters, my mom, and I keep seeing that they share clothes, but I do not really get to do that because, well, I'm a dude, and I don't really get to experience like hand-me-downs, for example. So a huge chunk of my fashion experiences was about acquiring things, buying things for myself, and like just, you know, trying to make the most out of them while they lasted. I was not as conscious or as mindful about my shopping and fashion experiences back then. I was when I started writing, I got to know more brands and their businesses and the lifestyles that they share and create aspirations about. But there was a ceiling, and I felt that that's just my place in the big fashion system. I am a consumer. I'm just gonna follow whatever they tell us, whatever the brands tell us, and I just participate by buying, obsessing over what's new, and like maybe queuing up for the launch of a new product. And it was fun, but when it gets repetitive, I guess that's how things started to make sense. Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted to see where this was going to go further. Mm-hmm. And during my writing and my public relations practice, I noticed that I became an active participant in creating fashion messages that invited people to consume. And I guess that was my wake-up call to an extent, right, where I felt that I needed to look beyond consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started to explore sustainability and more meaningful ways to participate in fashion.
Wow, that's very thoughtful, actually. It's crazy because you and I grew up in the same country, Philippines, which is classified, as a developing country, a poor country, some people would say. And my personal experience with fashion was my richest memory comes from trying to budget 1,000 pesos, or in today's conversion, about $20 for my Christmas party outfit. And because in school, and because we were poor, I only got new clothes every Christmas, and I had to budget 1,000 pesos for my top, my pants, and shoes if there's anything left. And then aside from that, we just wait for our aunts and uncles to gift us clothes, or from time to time we would, it was very rare, but yes, we would like buy a new shirt every now and then. I also shared clothes with my sister, who was 3 years younger than me, but I was a small kid and she was kind of a big kid, so we just kind of looked the same. In my personal journey, I, to be honest, never really cared about fashion or thought of it in a different way until I started traveling. That's when I started to really think about being smart about the clothes I wear, the clothes I have to keep. And it wasn't even to the point of thinking about sustainability in terms of, helping the planet or helping save the planet. It was just a matter of convenience and practicality for me. And then I started to buy higher quality clothes. I started to buy less clothes. I started to get less attracted by the idea of a sale. But in the past, it was just all about buying the most things with the smallest budget. So, it was, did you feel good when you realized that, oh, I'm gonna start buying clothes mindfully? Like, what was it psychologically for you? How did you feel?
My journey took quite some time really to arrive at a more mindful phase. I remember when I was young, I would be bought a t-shirt for 300 pesos every so often. That's about, I guess, $6, and that was a big deal because when you're young and you get to buy t-shirts like that, that's like a milestone. I would not even consider myself as stylish or someone who is fashionable. I was, again, yeah, I was a passive consumer back then, and I just followed the instructions of how the whole fashion set, system was set up. Eventually, I guess when I was immersed with community work through through my civic organization in the Global Shapers community, that's how I sort of found the interest to really situate myself and my role in the bigger picture. Because I think personal experiences that the personal experiences that we share, it's very local, it's very big, home-based, it is difficult for us to see the bigger picture if we do not engage with conversations outside our bubble. And I guess I resonate with how you discovered sustainability or mindfulness when you said that when you travel, that was how you felt that you should be more intentional with your fashion experiences. Mine was similar to that, but it was more about co-conversations that allowed me to compare and contrast the different realities that we face and seeing where I fit in the bigger picture. Like me realizing, oh, there are manufacturers of clothes. Oh, manufacturers use natural resources to produce our clothes. So it started there, and then it eventually just snowballed into the advocacy and the enthusiasm that they have right now.
Yeah, no, actually, I totally resonate with that. And I think also when I started getting into the business of people, like when I started outsourcing, one of the things that people super underrate is a super underrated thing when you're in the business of like HR, some sort of a human resource business, like a recruitment company, outsourcing company, staffing agency. One of the most underrated things is really like you get to start caring about people more, actually. And that's what I liked. And When they talk about sustainability in fashion, one of the things that also pop in my head is how are they treating the people working in fashion? Not just the factory workers. Obviously, we've heard a lot of horror stories about bad treatments of factory workers, but the people creating art that get their art copied, right? The people who come from less developed countries getting smaller contracts or getting cheated out of their contracts by big companies. So there's a whole range of problems. And of course, on the other side, a whole range of solutions that, that keeps us inspired to be in this fight. But before digging deep into that, can you tell us what does sustainability in fashion mean? What does it mean to say this is sustainable fashion?
So at the moment, when you look at the word sustainability, it can be really daunting. And there are many definitions of it based on how they live their based on their lived realities. But the glossary of sustainable fashion by Condé Nast and the Center for Sustainable Fashion simply defines it as a way to think sorry. They simply define it as a movement that promotes a shift in the way we participate, enjoy, and produce, design, and communicate fashion in a way that values people, as in honoring the hands of the people who create our clothes, and at the same time gives back to the environment, which is really the source of all of the materials that creates fashion. Right now, the dominant business models and infrastructures of fashion are currently creating harm to people and the environment. Say, for example, our clothes, our t-shirt, it takes 2,700 liters of water to produce a single t-shirt. So that's a lot of water. That's like the same amount of water that people drink. One person drinks for 3 years, right? So I guess when it comes to that, it is important for us to reimagine that what we're wearing is actually nature, comes from the environment, and that the kind of overconsumption and the kind of glorification of what's new is not helping us to create a lifestyle that enables people to consume mindfully, you know? Fashion for the longest time has been about what's new, has been all about consuming, and that's the understanding that we all share. And in the climate crisis that we are facing right now, the extreme changes in weather patterns caused by human activity, it is imperative that fashion's traditional business model cannot continue the way it is going, because otherwise we would be depleting natural resources, and we will be creating more waste. And the fashion industry is identified as one of the biggest polluters in the whole world.
Wow.
So yeah, so as consumers, as the people who make up the large chunk of the fashion value chain, I think if we collectively agree that there has to the changes have to be made through our individual actions, then we'd really truly make a difference. But of course, that's something so difficult to achieve and to even wrap our heads around. So I think it really all starts with understanding and really making fashion conversations approachable and not intimidating.
Oh, I like that. I like that point. I think that's definitely a good step one, making fashion conversations approachable, non-intimidating, communicating in a friendly voice, not I'm better than you, right? So, I have some thoughts from you, and I want to comment in your statement about sustainability. When you said that this is a consistent fight to be enamored by everything new. We have to remember that the goal of fashion as an industry, as a business, is to show us something new every season, right? Oh, a new season. Oh, that is so 2007. That Chanel bag is, that's an old season thing. I literally have friends that say, that it's a bad thing to buy from like the last season. I've seen reality TV stars literally say they don't repeat an outfit. Like, yeah, so that they just wear one outfit. Maybe they get gifts, right? But because spending for an outfit all the time would just it's so wasteful. And of course it's also expensive. I can think of so many other things I can buy. But yeah, that is the fight. I think it's like there's a good feeling that you get with getting something that's new, and there's also a good feeling that you get when you know you're helping save the planet. So which feeling will win, right? So,
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, Carla, and it's so true. I have two answers for that, so please allow me to go over the my answers one by one. So everything that you and I are feeling towards fashion, towards shopping, is natural. You know, we are enamored with what's new. I think there are sorry, fashion psychologists right now, it's a growing niche in psychology. They are pointing to what they call to be our evolutionary heritage, which helps explain and understand why we act the way we do. So they maintain that our ancestors used to forage, hunt, and gather for a rainy day. So there's that innate need to just accumulate things for rainy days. And to an extent, that sort of translates to our behaviors today. That's why we respond to calls and signs and messages that tell us that there's a sale and the items come in limited edition quantities or in limited quantities. So we respond to that because our ancestors did the same. It's our evolutionary heritage. But so there's that response to these fashion messages. But at the same time, you know, fashion's conversation really needs to change. And that's where communicators, influencers, bloggers, and the voices of entrepreneurs really show their strength in shifting the fashion narrative and in showing the many ways that we can participate in fashion without in showing the many ways that we can participate in fashion beyond consumption. So we have seen like some celebrities, you know, they are going against the grain. They buy secondhand or they swap clothes or they repeat outfits to make a statement. So, those are all lifestyles that follow the United Nations Environment Program's recommendations on sustainable fashion communication. And that is to really, you know, spotlight new role models and notions of aspiration or success. That you know you can convey status and power or like success in a way that does not strongly associate with consumption or buying the new. Like people are the celebrities, some celebrities that we know, they take pride in wearing the same clothes. Or like let's say for example, I think the people the personalities in Apple, right? They wear the same clothes again and again and that to an extent helps push the conversation away from this obsession of what's new and consumption. So those are the two things that we study and explore as communicators.
Right. So it definitely has a lot to do with messaging because,
Absolutely.
especially with social media, we respond to, there has never been a time in the history of man, basically, that we are exposed to media this much during the day and like in terms of time and this much media, right? So before we read the newspapers and we started watching movies, then we started watching TV series, right? And then we started to blog, and then we started to do YouTube videos and then social media, and now it's shorts. So there's more and more media because the media keeps getting more and more bite-sized too. And the pieces of media shape how we think. I like the point that you shared about how, you know, at the end of the day, we're really gullible to the messages around us. Before, they were showing us, oh, did you remember when they were showing us Paris Hilton's closet? Do you remember that?
Right.
Yeah. And it was all about like abundance and maximalism. They kept telling stories about Imelda Marcos's shoes, Heart Evangelista's closet. But on the other hand, there's this counterculture of the tech bros, these cool, smart nerds, billionaires. You know, obviously there's something aspirational there, wearing the same thing all the time, keeping a minimalist wardrobe. So there's it also evolves, and you know, fashion doesn't only evolve through new producing new clothes, but also producing new narratives. So and you know, here we are hoping that the narrative is heading towards more towards in sustainability. So wow, I love that. I never thought of it that way. So thank you for sharing.
No, thank you for actually, you know, putting all of those into words. I love that that we are together learning about this and, you know, piecing all of these information together that makes sense to our lived realities. And I think that's the beauty of sustainability too. It's that we learn together as we continue to have conversations about this. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we continuously challenge the beliefs that and lifestyles that we used to, you know, hold dear to us. And I think that's amazing that this conversation is happening. This alone really is creating that kind of ripple that we want to see in shifting the fashion narrative.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it because you and I talk almost every day, but our conversations are 1% of the in terms of meaning, because it's all just like gossip and degenerate memes. Okay, so you mentioned that, you know, this is how it starts. It starts with conversations. You hear certain conversations, it makes you think, it makes you realize certain things, and then eventually it manifests in your day-to-day life. So how does your interest in sustainable fashion manifest in your day-to-day life? What are the things that have changed in terms of habits? And what are the simple things that you started doing naturally, like literally without effort, as you are on this journey?
Mm-hmm. So I love that our conversation has reached this point, because it is also really important for us to acknowledge that our fashion behaviors and the way we interact with our clothes, they are not gonna shift immediately, like overnight. You're not gonna see drastic changes in the way you interact or experience or participate in fashion. Yeah. I'm gonna be transparent and say that, you know, I still buy brand new clothes because I have incredibly specific fashion needs for athletic purposes, for example. And at the same time, I do, I guess the more consistent and change that I am seeing as I go along is that, well, number one, the clothes that I have, that I buy, really last long, and they journey with me through the years. I still wear clothes from 10 years ago. And at the same time, I'm more mindful with the way I wash my clothes. I make sure that I, as much as possible, I hand wash or I like air dry, line dry. But other than that, you know, I guess it's the lifestyle and the influence and the conversations that we peddle that really makes the whole lot of the effort. So I always make sure that I get to seize opportunities and find platforms such as this podcast to peddle the message Because I know that my single effort is not going to make a difference. But if my small voice is going to, I don't know, influence the way other people live their lives and just share conversations about fashion, then I think that's how we can really create a lasting impact in our own communities. Because here's what's happening. We need to imagine that in the big in the bigger fashion system, the dominant voices that are around us are the big brands who are telling us this is how you should participate in fashion. We will contribute to sustainability, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you need to participate by consuming, buying from us. There are smaller voices in sustainability that do not really resonate with the way we live our lives. And I'm gonna go ahead and like unpack this right here, right now, because let's say the noble work that fashion designers are doing to promote cultural sustainability is amazing. They are doing a lot of history work and really promoting the livelihoods of indigenous communities and preserving culture. And but to an extent, the fashion that they make, the garments that they produce and sell, are not for the average consumer like us. So yes, the more elite community can and the people with stronger purchasing power, they can participate in that kind of sustainable fashion. But we need to also remember that there are many ways to participate in sustainable fashion. And that's where we come in. Normal citizens who shop in Zara or H&M or Uniqlo. And there are lots of opportunities for us to contribute through our individual actions without like going down the path that makes us think that, you know, sustainability is not doable. It's just for the rich people. It's an elitist thing. But we need to just be really looking at the situation and finding our role in contributing in the smallest way that we can.
Yeah, no, I love that. There's definitely small things that we can do that will start something, you know, it will eventually snowball into something. For me, when I started being mindful, I think the smallest win I can share is just buying less, right? Buying less clothes. I can consider that a win because, you know, this is something for me and my therapist. But when I grew up, when you grow up poor, when you get a little bit of money when you're older, you have a tendency to buy a lot of things because you're trying to nurse a wound, right? I feel like you're trying to nurse a wound when you couldn't buy these things in the past. One of the most meaningful things I did for myself was buying a Barbie, an astronaut Barbie, because when I was
That's
young,
cool.
Yeah, when I was young, my parents bought me dolls, but I really wanted the Barbie Mattel brand dolls, but they were too expensive because we were poor. And I really wanted the astronaut one. And then I think I found one somewhere in a mall in Bangkok and I bought it. My sister says it's going to be a collectible in the future. So I never took it out of the box, but it was such a meaningful moment for me. And I realized that a lot of people, possibly from our country, or a lot of people who grew up poor, even in rich countries, when they get older and when you start buying, you notice that you tend to buy things as a sort of like nursing a wound in your childhood that you weren't able to afford these things. And one of the places where that show up is in fashion. I think you and I experienced this, Jesse. Even brands that we now consider as like fast fashion or affordable, with quotes, like H&M, Terra Nova, Forever 21, we couldn't even afford that in the past. But now that we could like easily afford it, it becomes there's a little dopamine hit that comes with finally being able to do that being capable. So My big win, my small big win is when I started to mindfully just buy less. And of course, that also comes with what I shared, practicality in traveling. I also started to explore bartering amongst friends. So here where I live in Playa del Carmen, it's a beach town. So people are always in bikinis, crop tops, like basically clothing for warm weather. And because of this amazing place, this beautiful place, and this beautiful daylight and the sunshine, we do take a lot of like social media photos. And to be honest, I think that that also contributes. We don't want to repeat our clothes. And a good way to do that is do swaps with your girlfriends. Of course, there's a little bit of asterisk there. Terms and conditions, you have to be in the same size to swap with your friends. So that also motivates me to stay in like size small all the time. And then I think the third thing that I could share is buying higher quality clothes that I know it will last me a very long time. Right now I ask myself, is this a hell yeah decision? Is this a hell yeah purchase, not just in terms of style, but also in color? So that was my experience. Can you share more of your shopping experiences also, Jesse? How do you shop now?
I don't shop anymore because I'm perfect.
That's
No,
a
I'm
lie.
kidding.
That's a lie. Actually, Jesse is in the Lululemon email list.
Yeah, I am. So, yeah, I think what you shared earlier, Carla, about like nursing a wound and like you know, treating yourself because well, you are now an adult. You have adult money, right? Those are really perfectly valid ways to participate in fashion, and there is no shame in there. We should do, like, there's no shame in doing that. Really, you should be proud if any, because I think the conversation about sustainability, it's not black and white. It's more nuanced, and it's really incredibly personal. So I like to that we are, you know, being vulnerable about. How being vulnerable and transparent about how we engage in these shopping behaviors, but also really acknowledging that we can do better. And that in
Right.
itself is really a big thing already. Like when you acknowledge that, people see that and they get to see your intention and really motivation to do better. And that inspires them. So I think that goes a long way in sharing a lifestyle that you want others to embody. That does not mean that, you know, shopping is bad. That's not that, but that does not mean that we are saying that, you know, shopping is bad. And it's not. Some of us are still really fulfilling needs, and others are well, selling clothes as a way of their livelihood. Or some other, well, me, for example, I am in pursuit of better health, more athletic performance in the everyday. That's why I respond to fashion messages that promise me wellness or health soon. So that kind of becomes my intention. But I make sure that all of the my fashion experiences, you know, are really deliberate, and that I still go the extra mile to make sure that I am able to contribute to the bigger fashion efforts. So I guess that brings me to my current fashion participation these days. That is to make sure that I have good.
So the thing about the making that decision on what to buy is the lesson here is really like being mindful, right? I think the big mistake I would say that we did is we weren't thinking when we were buying in the past. Yeah, we saw it from a, worn by a mannequin. We thought that, we would look good in it too. We thought that the collar, we would like this collar for a very long time. And then we were always more often than not wrong, because the thing is, we weren't thinking. So I think that if we can just take a little bit of effort to think about the clothes that we're buying and what this means to you, maybe not even to the environment, let's start with you. Well, are you going to like this for a very long time? I actually recently learned about this principle of this buying principle of buy things that you will own, not things that will own you. So how I can apply that in fashion is I decided a long time ago, I'm going to stop buying clothes with buttons, zippers, things that need to be hand washed, like, because they will start owning me and my time, because it's going to be very hard to maintain these clothes, and it's going to take a lot of time from me. So you know, being mindful about that, I think, was a win, because it also helped me buy less clothes, also clothes that don't need ironing. So I just mindfully mostly buy clothes that don't need to be ironed. If you just hang them, they'll just like sort themselves out.
All right. I love that. I think one of the more recent books that I read also touched on that. Like, you know, I'm thinking about your relationship with fashion and how much are you giving to a piece of clothing versus how much it is actually giving you. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. What do you think are some of the, let's go to the other side of this conversation. What do you think are some of the worst habits that do not contribute to, you know, our planet in a good way in terms of fashion? Like a few questions that I have in mind that I would love your opinion on is, like, what are your thoughts on fast fashion? And maybe, like, what are the things that we miss out on in terms of fashion that needs to really take a little bit more effort in thinking about or being mindful about?
Right. So I'm gonna answer the first question first, and that is like the opportunities to improve. So I am going to sound moralizing, and I apologize, but I guess the easiest example that comes to mind is single-use clothing. So we always talk about single-use plastic, single-use whatever, but we do not really put high regard in addressing single-use clothing. It's in rotation. It's a regular thing that happens, well, at least in my side of the world. Like, we get so obsessed, for example, with buying an outfit for a single occasion, or we, in a bigger scale, in a bigger setup, we see some offices, companies, or organizations that produce a single t-shirt that is intended to be used by a lot of people for one occasion. So I know that people are still going to wear, are still able to wear that at some point in the future, but they are not likely going to do that because, well, you have a date in the t-shirt, you have, So it does not become something that you would want to wear for a long time, unless it's like the event is really meaningful to you, right?
Yeah.
So, single-use t-shirts, whether it's you buying one for yourself personally, or whether
like
it's a company
shirt.
Buying. An hideous reunion shirt. I have like a bunch of those, and I feel terrible.
Yeah. So if you're Jesse's relative, he hates you. If you're listening right now, he hates you and your family and your position in sustainability.
No. It's just an
kidding.
Opportunity. And then I always make sure that I participate less in that. When it comes to fast fashion, I guess the conversation is very nuanced. Like in global north countries, the more developed countries, they can, we hear a lot of people saying that fast fashion is evil. And to an extent, yes, the fast fashion business model still needs a lot of work when it comes to transparency and stewardship and environmental resources, taking care of our environmental resources. But I like to think that some fast fashion brands that operate here, and this is a very radical stance, okay? So some of the fast fashion brands that operate here in the Philippines are still serving the needs of so many people who cannot afford to buy designer clothes or clothes that are moderately priced that will last a long time, you know? And I also see the dominant presence of fast fashion brands as an example of how we can tap into the leadership powers that they have when it comes to shifting the narrative. Like the marketing voices of these fast fashion brands are really powerful engines that people listen to. So if we engage with these big brands with the purpose of sustainability in mind, that there the possibilities are endless, you know, to create a simple change, right? To create a simple shift in the way that they do business. Because they listen. We just really need to, like, I don't know, maybe organize ourselves and paint a more vivid vision that resonates with what they want to see in the community. They still mean business, but if the people's voices are organized and heard, we're gonna see a difference in the way that they do business in their com the communities that they serve.
Wow, I like that point. And I actually never thought of it that way. You're right. It's like the fact that these companies are businesses, meaning the sole purpose of this entity is produce profit. That's the definition of a business. The fact that they have profit and they're driven by profit, it also gives them the budget basically to start conversations to influence certain mindsets. And I do laud some of the practices being done by a lot of fast fashion brands, you know, like H&M and Zara. I think they have some sort of a buyback program, or like if you donate your clothes, they will recycle it. I like that intention because that's how it starts, right? How else are you? Yeah, we cannot just trust a nonprofit to keep having this conversation and get exhausted by it. We gotta enlist the help of the biggest players in the industry. And on top of that, you know, moving towards the business perspective, it's also a good thing because these companies are driven by their stock price, which is driven by public opinion. So the better the public opinion is, the better their stock performs. So there's definitely motivation for them to be in, you know, in this conversation with us and to be leading that conversation with us. And I do like that. And I like your point about the conversation being nuanced as well, because what can you really afford, right? At the end of the day, not all of us can afford these sustainable clothing or to be honest, it's hard for developing countries to care about principles such as environmentalism, even feminism, sustainable fashion, because most people are so busy putting food on the table. So yeah, and that's a different conversation altogether. But it I think this is a small win with the big brands participating. I like your point about the single use. One, I definitely am more mindful about that too. And I, in terms of, on top of that, I also wanted to mention like merch, you know, business merch, like conferences, right? Things like that. There's a lot of the things they produce. So I've also started being more mindful about like giving away hats, clothes, t-shirts, socks. There was a time when putting your face on a sock used to be like a thing. It was funny, like I get that, but like at the end of the day, these things don't really, you know, they just kind of stay in our closet after a while. Another practice I wanted to share is mindfully donating as well. I would say every 90 days, go in your closet, or you can even do every 6 months, just separate the things that you don't wear, and you can take your time to let it go. I've seen this YouTube video of a guy who was like discovering minimalism, and then it was really hard for him to let go of certain things. And so he would put them in a box, and then he would put the box away for 6 months. And if it's still there, he just like gives it away.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
nice.
I like that. I'm actually going to do that because I still have a lot of clothes, and I still think that I need to be able to pare it down. And I think that I could. A lot of these clothes aren't even, I've worn them once, and some of them are shamefully still have like price tags. So I'm embarrassed about that. I could definitely donate it and have someone get better use out of it.
Right.
Yeah, Jesse, when you started to delve deep in sustainable fashion, what surprised you the most about this advocacy?
That there are really many ways for us to that there are really many ways and roads for us to take. So that it's not an elitist thing, although at easy glance it may seem like it's frivolous and like something that only the elites will participate in. But I guess my biggest learning is really just revisiting the already sustainable lifestyles that we have. Like here in the Philippines, right? We have traditions and traditions of sustainability, like washing your clothes by hand, making sure that never actually throwing clothes away. You know, our old clothes, it becomes like a washcloth, or it be we an old t-shirt can be something that's
A
given
cum
to,
rag.
right, comrade, or like a little sorry, I thought you said comrade. But yes, I have a bunch of t-shirts that
Main contribution to sustainable fashion.
became a comrade. Yes, I always make sure that all of my clothes become good comrades. Oh, we're so nasty. I love it. So yeah, we have a lot of we have sustainability ingrained in our lifestyle, so we don't need to look far.
It's true.
The people in the global north, it's a different story for them because they definitely are pointing out a lot of challenges, and at the same time, a lot of opportunities and solutions. And fortunately for us, we are already living those solutions in our everyday lives.
Yeah, no, that really sur yeah, that is, I think that is the kind of the communication hurdle that we have to take and really think about. It's like you can, it's very simple. You don't have to be a chief advocate. You don't have to talk about it all the time. There's little things that you
Right.
can do. One of the things that I also want to also normalize is being able to give used clothes. Like in the
Right.
Philippines, it's, I thought, I don't know when it shifted, to be honest. Maybe conspicuous consumption and fast fashion, but in the past, it used to be such an honor to get the hand-me-downs of your cousin,
Right.
of your it used to be meaningful. We used to wear our mother's wedding dresses, right? Like
Right.
how did this change? Maybe it's the lure of something new always, not all the time. And then I think also like the increasing emphasis on personality and individuality. I think that as the more we had better hold of communicating ourselves and our personalities in media, express ourselves, one of the reasons we now have like a lot of genders, right? It's like we started realizing we're individuals, and there's a heightened emphasis on individualism. And I think that's part of that in fashion is, this is just my theory, is like you can't tell me what my style is. I get to
Right.
decide my style. And because of that, there is a tendency to be not so welcoming of hand-me-downs, when in the past it used to be an honor to get hand-me-downs.
Totally, totally. I get that, like, this shift in the way we live our lives are influenced by how we interact with media and with big brands today. The combination of those two can be quite deadly. And I'm sure that as someone who also lurks in social media and studies it, you know, through for your entrepreneurial journeys, you can see that in social media, there is always a call to action. And the call to action is to consume, to buy now, to check my affiliate link, to use my promo code Carla69. Right. Right. So
yeah, get on this email list. Be the first to know. So, you know,
right?
They're hitting the right buttons, like be the first and get something new. Those are so emotionally rewarding.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's crazy. I actually never thought of it of the hand-me-downs, because I just remembered my husband being happy when he was remembering stories from his childhood about the hand-me-downs that he used to get. Sometimes, yeah, it's like from this cool older cousin, right? And then, oh my gosh, I get to wear his shirts and things like that. So I don't know if this is still if this needed to be said, but can you share with us some countries that are doing really well in fashion sustainability and some of the bigger and like needle moving actions and movements that they are starting?
So I am not the best person to I guess share or do some kind of inventory of the progress that we are all doing collectively, because politely I believe that every progress in sustainability is progress. And we are all making strides in our own ways. But I guess to just like answer some of the questions, that question, the countries that come to mind are, well, Denmark, Copenhagen. We are seeing the community and the industry leaders come together there for conversations about how to create systemic change. And at the same time, local players, brands, and organizations are really employing elaborate mechanisms to ensure that fashion shows, for example, are being used as a platform to communicate and influence sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that all countries elsewhere, like the Philippines, are not making strides.
Right.
Themselves, you know, in the Philippines, we are seeing conversations shift towards valuing culture, heritage, and the craftsmanship of our indigenous people. So those are all equally valid and equally amazing efforts that allow us to take steps towards our goals and towards sustainable scenarios.
Yeah, no, I like that point. Actually, that also brings to mind the fashion sustainability in terms of the sustainability of business, right? Unfortunately, a lot of local players close shops because they don't get enough support from people, their own,
right,
you know, fellow men, their neighbors, their friends are buying Gucci and Nike and Louis Vuitton and not the brands or not the items that they so painstakingly made and care for. I think that also is something to be mindful about. Can I buy local? Can I support this neighbor of mine, this friend of mine who started a clothing line or who started a clothing business or a thrift shop business? So,
right,
you know, yeah, this single mom that's, you know, just starting a side hustle. There's a lot of single moms that started a side hustle in the Philippines. They would buy used clothing, surplus clothing in kilos, like 10 kilos. And then they handpick some of the best pieces and they sell them individually. I really admire the hustle. I support businesses like that.
Right, right. Like they are. I think I encountered some dudes also do that. They flip clothes.
Oh yeah,
I got
flipping.
That's so cool. of them to like help keep all of these boats away from being just thrown away. They go through like piles and piles of clothes to find the good ones that they know that will sell well and keep circulating. That's just amazing.
Yeah. No, I like that. I also would love to see more celebrities maybe auctioning their clothes and donating it to charity. You know, I think that is very noble. These sports stars too, you know, like if you are, say, just an example, of course, like Tiger Woods, and you want to sell your like this shirt or this hat that you wore at this golf tournament, you know, a lot of people would be so into that. And then you're not only will that item be more cherished, but you can also contribute to an advocacy outside of sustainable fashion. So it's like, you know, two birds stoned at once.
Right. That's correct. I mean, and I think the people who run OnlyFans account can also do the same, like sell their used underwear. So I would be
down
for
exactly.
That.
Yeah, you're yeah. Do you even really need clothes if you're on OnlyFans? I don't think you have no right to clothing. So
it's a sustainable livelihood.
Yes, OnlyFans is a sustainable livelihood, fashion sustainability. Yeah.
Yeah,
we should start that business. I actually wanted to start a used underwear business of like powerful women CEOs. Because I think that there's a lot of simps and a lot of creepy guys.
Yeah, I'm going to help you with that so we can branch out to also do men, powerful CEOs.
And their cum
I'd
rags.
Be down to subscribe to that.
Yeah, as an add-on, they can also buy their cum rag. So as an upsell, wait, there's more.
Yeah, so that's how people are going to remember this conversation now.
Exactly. So what is your answer to this big question? You know, is fashion sustainability just an elitist daydream? Yes or no? And if it's no, how can we make people think that it's not?
Yes. So my answer to that really is empowering citizens like us can go a long way.
Yeah.
So I earlier mentioned that, you know, I was a passive consumer and I just respond to fashion messages for the longest time. And there's an opportunity to reimagine our roles in fashion to become citizens, not just consumers.
Right.
So when we act as citizens, we are more proactive in the sense that we know the impact that we create on a bigger scale. We buy things with intention, and we know how to participate and strike conversations with the leaders and the brands that surround us. So being an active citizen in fashion really makes all the difference.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. And you know, there's so many things that we've already shared that makes it easy and makes it simple to participate in this movement. And just the benefit of being mindful will always help also for your well-being. So, you know, I want you guys to not even like think of the planet when you're doing this. Just think about how good you will feel. Think about all the good karma points you're going to get from doing this thing.
That's so nice to think about it that way.
Yeah. So any resources, Jesse, that you can share if someone wants to start their journey so they're not intimidated? And what maybe you have other events that you also wanted to share, feel free to also talk about it here.
Well, the most accessible resource that anybody can access really is the resources of Fashion Revolution. They're one
Fashion
of the
Revolution.
Largest one of the largest sustainable fashion movements around the world. So we collab my civic organization, Global Shapers, so we collaborate with them every so often for campaigns and that bring the message to the grassroots. Another wealth of resources that I think people would be interested in would have to be the sweet learning resources of Fashion Values. So Fashion Values is an advocacy program, a learning program by the Center for Sustainable Fashion of the London College of Fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a website that shows you methods and a lot of talks that you can listen to for inspiration. And at the same time, there are future learn courses or free that you can take that, you know, help you unpack fashion and culture, sustainable fashion and culture, sustainable fashion in terms of the economy. And finally, well, I don't have anything going on at the moment. We just finished the 2024 run of a sustainable fashion forum that I run, that I organize called Unstitch. But we are looking into producing more content in social media after hearing so much inspiring messages from voices from fashion and beyond. So we are the Unstitch Sustainable Fashion Forum in social media. It's Unstitch PH.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for sharing. So for everyone listening, that's Unstitched PH. And if you want to follow Jesse, he is The Game J, The Game J-A-Y on Instagram. I will also be linking both pages, Jesse's Instagram and Unstitched PH, on the show notes. Feel free to check them out, check out what they're doing. If I have anything to contribute to this last thing is try to influence as many people as you can, you know, your children, your sisters, about fashion sustainability with whatever you learned here, whatever made you think, and whatever self-discovery things that you go through in terms of thinking or starting to think about sustainability in fashion. At the end of the day, it is such a good advocacy and a good virtue to practice. And it, at the end of the day, less waste, less problems, right? So that is an easy way to think about it. So Jesse,
absolutely.
Yeah. Any last words? Yeah. Anything that you wanted to share?
I really love the idea that, you know, the entrepreneurs and the, like you, that are in the forefront or in the front lines of the conversation. You guys are really, you know, the new role models, and you're shaping the notions of aspiration and success. And I think that really matters in when it comes to the conversation in fashion. So kudos to you, Carla, for
thank you.
And your community of entrepreneurs taking the lead and using your voices to advance this meaningful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now back to shopping. I'm just kidding. Back to my 55 abandoned carts.
Oh no.
Just kidding. Yeah, I know. We really need more of these conversations, because especially working in marketing, you know, every day you learn a new thing to make someone buy. You learn
right.
A new trick. You learn a new trick, you know, a new color of a buy button, a new email sequence, you know. So we are driven by we are rewarded by getting people to buy more. But, you know, having this in mind, being mindful about this, it helps us to kind of at least discriminate in terms of what efforts are we putting out there, and are these efforts really good, and or at least how can we make this campaign a little bit better? Yes, we can, maybe, you know, we want to sell, we can get them to buy, but just having that what if, or that other school of thought at least contribute to how we're creating marketing campaigns is a win overall. So yeah,
perfect.
thank you for joining us. Entrepreneurs need to have more of these conversations and need to hear from people like you, because it changes, it helps shape a better narrative for everyone. So yeah, thank you for being here. And to my friends and listeners, please follow Unstitched and check out the fashion revolution and all of the efforts in fashion sustainability. Maybe you have an extra 30 minutes on the treadmill where you can watch something, or when you're driving, pop out an Audible or two and start learning about it. You will learn a lot of things about fashion, about how we buy clothes, how we express ourselves, how we go through all these buying decisions. And I'm sure that you will enjoy doing a lot of self-discovery in the process. So
right.
Yeah, That's it.
Thank you, Carla.
Thank you so much, Jesse, for being here. And thank you to all of our listeners. If you guys have any thoughts, insights, opinions, just comment it on Spotify or feel free to send me a message on Instagram. It's at Carla Stefan. And I'll see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Thank you and bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.